Blog Talk Radio.
Don't want the IRS ever being perceived to be biased and anything less than neutral in terms of how they operate. So this is something that I think people are properly concerned about. The IG is conducting its investigation, and you know, I am not going to comment on their specific findings prematurely, but I can tell you that if you've got the IRS operating in anything less than a neutral and nonpartisan way, then that is outrageous. It is contrary to our traditions, and people have to be held accountable, and it's got to be fixed. So we'll wait and see what exactly all the details and the facts are. But I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate it, and we will make sure that we find out exactly what happened on this.
People have been actually talked to, the victims themselves, by anybody in the Justice Department.
Yeah, this is an ongoing matter, and I'm not necessarily sure I want to get into the specifics of what we
have
done.
Well, if the answer were none, that would be stunning, wouldn't it?
280 days have passed, and many, if not all, of the victims have not even been interviewed.
This is chilling. And it should be unacceptable in the United States of America.
I find it astonishing that the Department of Justice appointed a major Obama donor to head this investigation.
I am not going to discuss what we have done in an ongoing investigation.
I'm glad that someone outside the Nixon administration eventually looked at Watergate. And I'm not saying this is Watergate. I'm saying on its face, it's not a good moment.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption.
Until now.
Now. You feel that?
Welcome to the program once again. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can't afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. All right, we have got a lot to get through again today, and I never shut up. But we did pretty good yesterday. I got through most of what we needed to get through. I don't know if I'm going to get through it today. Who knows? Who the hell knows? But there are lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. So let's lift our jib and get this damn ship underway. All right, Boston Bay, shift colors. We are officially underway and out to sea. I want to start today with, I heard all about this Mitt Romney Netflix documentary called Mitt. And I started thinking and started thinking and started thinking, and then I called my brother and asking him about it. Well, I went on and I got it. And I watched it. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, and I've always thought this, you know, even during the 2012 campaign, because, see, I remember during the first campaign, I really wasn't pleased with any of them. I was like, you knew that they were going to send in, you know, send in the dud squad, because you knew that people were not going to vote Republican, because, you know, the whole country hated George Bush because he was evil. He created hurricanes and global warming and hates black people. I just can't wait to, you know. So they send in the dud squad, and, you know, they pick you know, McCain, just so they don't tarnish somebody else's record, I guess, as some people look at it that way. I don't know which way you want to look at it, but it does kind of seem that way. But nevertheless, you know, and I remember telling my brother, for whatever reason, I didn't like Mitt Romney. I can't even remember. That's what's so weird about this. I couldn't remember. I said, well, I don't care if Mitt Romney, it was very shortly after the 2008 election that Mitt Romney became the front runner. And I remember after the election, I was telling my brother very shortly after, I said, I don't care if Mitt Romney, I think Mitt Romney was actually the front runner for the 2012 election before the election even took place. I think he was actually the front runner for the 2012 election before McCain actually got enough votes to be, you know, the nominee. But I still can't remember for whatever reason, and I kept telling him, you know, very shortly after, I said, I don't care if he's the front runner in 2012, I'm not voting for him. I don't care who he is, I'm not voting for him. I don't care, you know, whatever, I'm not voting for him. Well, 2012 came along and, you know, 10, and I started, you know, the more I listen to the guy, the more I pay attention to, you know, different stuff and seen different things, and, you know, the more you learn about the guy, you know, the more you end up liking. You know, like, how did we miss this guy? You know, are we afraid of actually getting something done? I think he would be a good president. In 2012, I did vote for him. He convinced me by then. I did vote for him. And the more you watch, and the more you learn about the guy and the whole family, there's a lot to like. I think there's a lot that he could offer this country, and I think he would turn this country around. I know he says he's not running, no, but... How many times have politicians said no? Emphatically, no. Well, so far, how I look at it, I don't think he is the front runner. And I know there's a poll out here. Where is that? But that didn't stop the Virginia-based bipartisan policy firm Purple Strategies from adding his name. What is all these stupid... adding his name to a recent survey for Granite State voters, which shows Romney in the lead with 25% support. And I read this and I was like, looking at all the different candidates that we have out there. Now, I like Rand Paul, but I don't see Rand Paul as a president. I do like Rand Paul. I think he's a good senator. I think that's where he belongs. I do like him as a senator. I do like him. He's a good guy. I just don't see him as president. Not a knock on him. I like him. I'm glad he's in Congress. I mean, Chris Christie, I've never really been all that lovey-dovey with the dude. Would he be better than Obama? A friggin' rock would be better than Obama. But that's besides the point. We don't just put somebody in office just because they're not somebody else. That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And that's why we have what we have today. He was the anti-Bush. But then you start to think of looking at all the candidates that are, you know, possibilities. I still think Mitt Romney, I mean, look, third time's a charm here, man. We can't blow another opportunity. How many more goddamn opportunities have to be hand-delivered to this country before we finally take it? It's right there in front. All we got to do is just, it's right there. We can touch it. We can smell it. We can feel it. We can hold it. We can roll it up and smoke it if we want to. But it's right there. We must seize upon it. Why? Why do we not? Well, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm just looking at the evidence. It doesn't make any sense. You had a perfect opportunity, Mr. King and McConnell and Boehner and all you knuckleheads. You had the government by the keyhones. And all you had to do was wait, what, 2 more weeks? When all the problems, I think it was less than 2 weeks after the government opened up. Boom, then what happened? All this Obamacare crap. And the American people were very, very upset. Well, you know, if you'd have kept the, you know, dropped your drawers and surrender to the Democrats for a multi-billion dollar pork sandwich to help out your little state there, Mr. McConnell, that he had no idea was in there. But he agrees to this compromise. Yeah. Harry Reid threw out the chum and you bit. That chum is the American taxpayers' money. Imagine that, what these people do. This is what Congress does. They take money out of your pocket that you earned. Now, you don't mind giving it to the government as long as they use it wisely and responsibly. Nobody really has a problem with it. But when you're going to use the taxpayers' money and use it as bait to steal more taxpayers' money and get the opposition, well, to swallow the bait, the chum. Well, that's why we have fast approaching $20 trillion in debt. And we keep voting these same people in. Hello? Yeah. So, again, I watched that movie last night, the documentary. And again, the more I see of this guy, I mean, you saw a regular guy. Now, I know they showed him picking up the garbage, but whether it was staged or not, it didn't look staged to me. He just seemed like a guy that just, I mean, he's not, yeah, he's rich, but he's still, well, I don't know how to explain it. I know a lot of people won't believe it. Oh, no, that's not Mitt Romney. He's already got painted because he's rich. And his wife rode a horse. Okay, I know a lot of people that ride horses. I wouldn't say that they're rich, but yeah, horses are expensive. But what the hell difference does that make? Whether somebody rides a goddamn horse, what does that mean? Extravagant. Take a look at all of these. What was that government agency that was supposed to be the overlookers of waste, fraud, and abuse? I mean, what was that agency? I can't remember the stupid agency, but they were in Vegas yucking it up, and that creepy-looking dude gets his picture taken in a bathtub with these two cocktail glasses there, and they're yucking it up with taxpayer dollars, spending millions of dollars for conferences. That's fine. Whatever happened to these people? Well, they've moved on, making more money. Lois Lerner now, yeah, she's got a nice retirement package coming her way. Why hasn't Congress put an end to that? Mr. Boehner, why haven't you done something to, you have the power to do something about that. I'm pretty sure that Congress could have the power to take away her pension. Pretty sure. I know the DOJ could probably do it, but not this DOJ. I mean, I'm not in Congress, but I'm asking a question. I'd like to know why Congress would not have the power of impeach. They can impeach anybody in federal. They can do it. I mean, it's, you know, not an easy thing, but in the Constitution, as far as I understand, they do have the right. That's where it starts. Well, why wasn't that done in Congress? I don't know. I mean, these are serious. These are serious offenses that have happened. I'm sorry, but Benghazi was real. I know it was only four. It's not like it was a whole bunch. I mean, if it was like 9/11, you know, where you had a couple thousand people, okay, fine. You might have something to talk about. Only four? I mean, come on. They knew what they, you know, they bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. They knew. It's a dangerous area. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. We had the proper security. We don't know what happened. It was that video guy, man, that filmmaker, that bastard. So we took care of him. We got him in jail. He'll never do that again. Well, I'm sorry, but what that president did definitely violated this citizen's right of freedom of speech. Violated his rights deliberately. And don't tell me for 1 second that that president, this president, Barack Hussein Obama or Barry Sotoro, don't tell me for 1 second that his grubby little mittens weren't involved in that. Valerie Jarrett, I'm sure, had her grubby little paws in there too. Her dirty, filthy, bloody little paws. Hillary Clinton, God only knows. But they violated this citizen's rights. That right counts for impeachment. Just violating one citizen's rights. I'm sorry, you can't do that, especially as a president. An administration cannot persecute any of our citizens. That's not the role of our government. And that's exactly what happened. That's wrong. Why there aren't attorneys for this man, I don't know. They could go pro bono. They could win a big, big, big case. Why they're not doing it, I don't know. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe this government has talked to them. Bring in the goon squads with the guns. I don't know. But that's not the kind of country I want to live in, where we have to be afraid of our government. And speaking of this, now this is Nancy Pelosi. God damn it, her. I am so sick and tired of the left painting the right as all this anti-government, anti-this. They hate this. They hate this group, hate that group. No, first of all, on the right and the Tea Party, no. You're just an idiot. I don't even know what to call you. I'm sorry, Pelosi, but you are just, you're not, you just shut up, please. I'm begging you. You don't make any sense. You sound foolish every time you open your yap. I'm also sick and tired of having you, well, make stuff up, because I take offense to this. She's not only talking to certain people who she thinks she knows, but she's never been to a tea party. She has no freaking idea what the hell she's talking about. But I take her as talking directly to me. I got a problem with that. I do take offense to that, Miss Pelosi. So you offend me, I got to offend you back. That's the way it is. Tit for tat, man. You don't like it? Well, you know. You don't like what I say to you? Well, change the way you talk to me, and I'll very quickly change the way I talk to you. It's just the way it works. I didn't start it. You did. I'm just responding. You're an idiot. The Tea Party is not anti-government. Never has been. That's not what it's about. It's about limited government. We want government, but we want a responsible government. We want a limited government. We want a government where the people have the control, not the government has the control over the people. Our power is the vote, but we have been so suckered in and lied to and bored out and stretched and manipulated, and I mean, it's just it's just people are just beyond. I don't know how they can't see this stuff. It drives me insane. How can these people not see this stuff is mind-boggling to me. I just don't get it. But the right is not anti-government. We are pro-government. but we're pro-constitutional government. And all you got to do is follow it. It's really not a difficult document to follow. And government really doesn't have to do as much as they actually do. That's the bigger problem right there, is they do too much. They're in session far too damn often. I mean, I don't mind them being in session as long as they're doing constructive work, not just crap work. I mean, these nonsensical bills and regulations and rules are just crap. And they just pass it through. Nobody reads the goddamn things. They just sign them through. Next thing you know, all these freedoms and rights and liberties have just been wiped away. Then the politician who voted for it, well, it was my staff that told me they read it and they didn't see it. And I didn't tell them. Well, it was, you know, one of those things. And I backed myself up and I read it afterwards. And so I understand. What it really means is just shut up. Okay, just shut up. That's how this stuff gets passed. You don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. That's the problem. That's why what I was talking about yesterday. I think on these bills, if you vote yay or nay, you must sign something saying that you have fully read and understand this bill. If not, you should not be able to vote for that bill, period. And the president who signs it on the bill should say, right above the president's name, I have fully read and understand this bill that I am signing into law. That way, there is accountability and responsibility, but the government will never do that. Nobody in the government wants to be held responsible or take responsibility. For why? Why? I don't know how else to explain it, but, I mean, and bullies are cowards, by the way, because they pick on those people that they can pick on. That's a bully. Damn, that's good grog this morning. You don't think this government is a bully? I do. But getting back to Mitt Romney, let's see, let's find out about this poll. I know he says no. Now, he was out there again slow jamming the news with what the hell's his name? Jimmy Fallon, that's it. I don't watch, so whatever. But I did watch a little bit of it. You know, first of all, that slow jam news is just not one of my favorite bits, but whatever. But it does show that Mitt Romney is, I mean, he's a little down to earth. And I think he's getting his name out there. I think secretly he might want to run again. And I know, and when you watch the documentary, which go ahead and watch it. I think you should watch it. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, you know, but I mean, it was good enough to, you know, take a look inside really him and his family. Now, when you think of people in the White House, you think of people, I mean, first of all, I didn't think the Clintons respected the White House. I didn't think Bill Clinton respected the White House at all. This president, no, I don't think respects the White House. I don't think he's ever been in the Oval Office. I mean, I know he's been in there to put his feet up on the desk and get a photo op here and there. But I didn't think Bill Clinton respected the office, and I don't think Barack Obama really respects the office. Say what you want about Bush. Yeah, he made some stupid mistakes. Yeah, okay. He did. But at least I do believe he respected the office. I don't think he went out of his way to disrespect the office. I don't get the feeling that this president really even likes America. I think he's got some kind of a hard-on for this country, and he's trying to, maybe not. Maybe he loves the country so much that he just can't see that he's screwing it up. He's killing it. He's stabbing it right in the heart. Pounding, penetrating in and out, and boom, jab, jab, jab. Voting for more of it. I can't take any more of it. I'm done. But I do think if you look at all the different candidates, and I was thinking about that last night, you know, I didn't even bother to even think about Mitt Romney was even going to run again. I figured he was completely out, you know. And then when I seen this and I started thinking, you know, and that's when I went on Netflix and I watched the documentary. And I'm thinking, you know what? I mean, why didn't we see this? First of all, why didn't we see the Romney care over there in Massachusetts, whatever. And what I really liked about it, what he said was, he's like, hey, you know, they called him a flip-flopper. Okay, that's because he's on the right. It doesn't matter why he flip-flopped, but is it a flip-flop when you learn information and you have to naturally realize, okay, I was wrong? I do see it now with this information. Okay, I've corrected the wrong and I've made it right. That's called honesty. That's called integrity. That's what I want in the goddamn Oval Office. That's what I'm asking for. That's just me, though. That's me. But I see the guy not only respecting the office, I see his family respecting the office, the White House, the purpose, the reason. But look, there's nothing wrong with somebody coming out and saying, okay, I screwed up. This is now I fixed it. My God, that's what people really want. And then when you give it to them, no, that's not what I want. Well, what the hell do you want then? My God. What more can the guy do? He changed his position because he got new information and he realized, okay, he was wrong on this and now he's right. And then you're going to criticize him for admitting that he was wrong and he's fixed it right before your eyes and has proved that he's fixed it? And that's not good enough? Well, what's he supposed to do? Well, this is what happens. This is why politicians, no matter how bad this Obamacare screws people's lives, they will never admit that they made a mistake, that they were wrong. That's not having integrity. That's not honesty. That's not transparency. At least, I'm sorry, but you come out and admit you were wrong and then fix the wrong and make it right? How do you not respect that? That's what I'd like to know. How do you not respect that? Say for whatever reason you don't get along with him, you've met him, you've known him, and for whatever reason you don't get along, but how could you not respect honesty? I screwed up, but I fixed it. Here it is. This was wrong. Now this is right. Well, how do you not respect that? Isn't that being a stand-up, you know, stand-up person, stand-up man? But for this president to stand up and continue to blame the right for his so-called key legislation, his legacy. Well, if this is your legacy, Mr. Obama, you are in trouble. You don't really have a legacy. I mean, the history books may write it because all the liberals now control the history books. You can fill volumes of what you don't read in the history books. So zip it. But if you look at all of the candidates that are out there now, people that have, you know, kind of been in the news, kind of hinted a little bit, I think Mitt Romney is, I think he's the ticket. Do I think he could beat Hillary Clinton? Yeah, I do. Matter of fact, I think Mitt Romney could spank her. Spank her hard. I think Mitt Romney could smoke her. Mitt Romney, I know you're not listening to this Blog Talk Radio program. But if by some bizarre, strange chance that somebody is, and they happen to know who you are and could relay a message, well, then please relay this message to Mr. Romney and his family. First of all, Ms. Romney, I know that it would drive you absolutely nuts, but I do believe that the reward would be worth it for you and your family. And I think you family, your entire family in the White House, would put a little bit of class and respect back into the White House. Therefore, the rest of the world looks at the White House, and that's how they see the country. I would much rather have the Romneys in the White House than the Obamas. They would set a much better example. I would feel much more comfortable. It would give us a much better, not only would it be give us a much better look, they wouldn't be out embarrassing. I think Mitt Romney is much smarter, much more intelligent than Barack Obama. Don't give me this constitutional scholar crap. Harvard Law Review? What the hell is that stupid Law Review anyway? Some cockamamie communist newspaper? Give me a friggin' break. What the hell does that mean? I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, that's not impressive to me. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just not in the know. That's fine. I could not be in the know, but it's not impressive to me. It's just not impressive. Big whoop. But Mitt Romney is so much more intelligent than him. He's business savvy. I think he can negotiate. I think he would be much better with foreign leaders than Barack Obama. I think our military would be stronger. I think the rest of the world would be a little less, well, we might have a little bit of, I guess what I'm actually looking for, to put it in the right way, what I'm looking for is for our superpower status to come back. Now, I don't mean imperial superpower status. Because I do have a little bit of, I guess you call, libertarianism in me. I got a little mixture of everything. I'm unique. I am me. If I like something, I like it. If I don't, I don't. I really don't give a damn what category it fits under. But I really don't like... I know there's reasons why we get involved in other countries. There are valid reasons. But there's a lot of times that we do that we shouldn't. That's what I'm saying. We need to pick and choose our times of getting involved much more wisely. That's how I'm going to put it. I'm not going to elaborate, you know, whatever. But I think Mitt Romney is much more qualified for the job than anybody right now that has made themselves that could be qualified. Look, we had two opportunities, and we blew it. This is the third time. Mitt Romney, I'm sorry, I know, you might be thinking about it, and you should think about it. So whoever this mystery person is that might be some strange cosmic intervention happened, that this person is actually listening and can relay the message to the Romneys. You need to throw your hat in the ring. You may not need to do it now, but you need to keep in the news. Don't do that slow jam crap again. That was... whatever. Anyway, get out there. Do stuff. Get your name out there. Take a trip with a bus. Go to these states that you barely miss. Go to Ohio. See if they like you now, since, you know, there's a lot of unemployment. How about Virginia? See all those coal miners. See if they like you now. Yeah. Go to these places. You can tell these people I told you so without telling them I told you so, simply by showing the evidence and telling the truth, holding a mirror to their faces so they can see That's what you need to do. I do believe, I do have faith in you, Mr. Romney, that you could get, you could turn the country around. You and your whole family just being in the White House, I think, would give a much better feel, much better look, much more, you would respect the office. That's what I'm looking for. So not only do the American people, when they look at, look who's in the White House, I mean, are we looking at people that are, you know, buffoons? Do they think it's Hollywood, D.C., or do they think it's Washington, D.C.? That's what I'm looking for. People that respect the office, the White House. Respect the country, for Christ's sakes, is what I'm really looking for. I think we would see that with the Romneys. I'm looking for stability. I think the Romneys are stable. I think Mitt Romney could do a much better job as far as foreign policy goes, negotiating with these people. I'd feel a hell of a lot safer. We need to get our military back. I know we got the best military, but we're changing in ways that just, I don't know. I'm kind of glad I'm not in anymore. I think I'd be a little discontented. But back in the day, I loved it. I loved every second of it. I knew I could only spend 4 years, but sometimes I think I should have stayed in. I would have been perfectly content with it. I loved the United States Navy. Everything about it. And I loved being out to sea. And yes, I am a parrothead. I do love Jimmy Buffett. And I loved Jimmy Buffett far before I even joined the Navy. So there. But I really believe, and that's what I wanted to start off today when I watch it. If you get a chance to watch that Netflix, it's called MITT. Go on Netflix, type in MITT, M-I-T-T. I really think he's our guy for 2016, and yes, absolutely. Can Mitt Romney beat Hillary Clinton? Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Mitt Romney, you got to run. I know you're thinking about it. I know you can't put your name in the hat right away. I know you can't do it now. But when the time comes in a year, 10 months from now? Actually, you know what you ought to do? You ought to formally do it 1 week before the November election in 2014. Don't you tell me that would not energize the base. Don't you tell me that would not get people out. We would take over the Senate. We would definitely maybe get a bunch more seats in the House. We'd have the country on your side immediately. If you do that, you should be able to just, well, I don't want to say walk right into the White House. You're going to have to, you know, work over Hillary Clinton and get that side. But I think you're the man that can do it. If there's anybody out there that we have right now, I haven't seen these people. They haven't said anything. I don't know who they are. But I do believe it's you. So, there's that. That's an order from the captain. You must run for president, and you will win. All right. There's a lot to get through here today, and I'm finally learning to shut up every once in a while. So let me open up my treasure chest here and see if we can plunder any booty. Whoa, what do we have here? This deserves a shot of grog before we start this. U.S. seeks death penalty for marathon suspects. How about the death penalty for those people who killed our four brothers in Benghazi? How come they haven't been prosecuted yet? How about the death penalty for those Mexican drug cartels that killed our brother on the border? Remember him? Yeah, you know, the same Mexican drug cartels that are now allowed to smuggle children across the border and then hand them over to our Homeland Security, which hand-delivers them to their illegal alien parents. Interesting. Also, they now have, we're going to get to that, they have snipers now at the Super Bowl. Hear about that? They didn't have any snipers at Benghazi, but we got snipers at the Super Bowl. Where was the security in Benghazi, the hottest, the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous areas on planet Earth? The Red Cross moves out. The Limeys move out. The Americans move out their security. We keep a skeleton crew against a very, very, very large, angry Al-Qaeda up mob. How only four were killed? I'm not saying only. I don't mean it like that. But what I'm saying is it just goes to show you that these guys, they put up a hell of a fight, man. And good for them. They fought them off. Thanks to no help of our goddamn military for whatever reason. We don't know that reason. Why? Well, couldn't get there on time. Plus, you know, I mean, it's taco nights. Kim Kardashian's on, you know. The guys are tired. They've been working, you know. Let them have a little R&R. Come on. We don't have time for all this rescue business. Plus, we don't know what's going on the ground. I mean, we don't send troops into harm's way. We don't know everything that's going on the ground. I mean, there's no excuse for that at all. I'm sorry, I can't let that Benghazi go. I can't let it go. Absolutely cannot let that go. That's wrong. Why haven't we prosecuted anybody in our government for that? I don't know. Fast and furious. I don't know. IRS. Congress, you have the right to impeach. You have the right to prosecute. You have the right to do things. You haven't done it. Look, Mr. Issa, I love your hearings. Okay, fine. I love all these hearings. There's no end result. We're not getting anything in return. We're getting pleading fifths and getting lies, and we're getting nothing. These hearings are fine, but they don't deliver anything. They make a few good sound bites, and oh yeah, everybody looks big and tough, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. But nobody gets to the bottom of this. Why there are not people who are, at this point, behind bars, I don't know. But we need to start some grand juries. That's what we need. We need impeachment hearings on a lot of stuff. Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, just those. Obamacare. Guys, come on, I'm sorry, but the country can't afford this anymore. We need to turn things around. I know it's going to be tough, and I know because if you go after certain people, you're going to be called a racist. Fine. Get out and tell the truth. That's all you have to do. You'll get the American people on your side if you just tell the truth. Just prosecute the truth. Don't make anything up. Don't embellish. Just prosecute the truth. American people will be on your side. The American people are feeling it. They're already on your side. House leaders sell immigration blueprint. This is... Whoa. Do I find this to be just an absolute, abject disaster about to happen? Oh. You talk about the economy sucks now. I mean, we can't even put the people that we've got 91 point almost, we got over a third of the country right now unemployed. And we want to keep bringing more and more people in. Well, if we don't have enough jobs for the people that we have in here now, what's going to happen with these people? Well, they'll vote Democrat. Oh. Okay, I get it now. I'm sorry. What the hell was I thinking? Leftist Congressman Henry Waxman retires and blames the Tea Party. Well, you know what, Mr. Waxman? If the Tea Party really is to blame for you retiring, good. That means that it's working. You, Mr. Waxman, I'm so glad that you are retiring. Thank you. That's all that I have to say. Thank you. The country can now begin to at least heal one little part, your part, your seat. Maybe somebody with a, you know, who's a little bit more responsible, not so much of a corrupt little creep. But you are a creepy little dude, man. Maybe we can get somebody else in there. So, bon voyage, Mr. Waxman. And thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, sir, for retiring. MSNBC apologizes for controversial tweet about conservatives and Cheerios. Oh, God damn it. I mean, the children are out again. Please. No more. I mean, I got a couple of different comments on this. And it has nothing to do with the commercial. It has to do with the people, well, on both sides, really. State Department webcast features guest who called Clarence Thomas and Condoleezza Rice Uncle Toms. Well, of course. You know, I mean, all black Republicans are Uncle Toms. You know, they're sucking up to Whitey. You know, they got that, what is, what the hell's her name? What do they call it? The something syndrome, whatever. I'm tired of these stupid syndromes and Uncle Toms. Look, Clarence Thomas just decided to be who Clarence Thomas is. And if you don't like him, well, you don't like him. But an Uncle Tom, I find that a bit of a stretch. Whatever. But that's just, you know, people who say that, Uncle Tom. Because somebody doesn't agree with you, you gotta go to that. You gotta bring race into it. How does race and being called an Uncle Tom is like being called the anti N word? So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, is it, please, the N word. I'm tired of all these letter words. I can't keep up with the damn things. What does the N stand for? Nincompoop. So you can't call a black guy a nincompoop, but you can call him an Uncle Tom, as long as you're black. The anti-nincompoop. First of all, it's just, I mean, how does, I don't understand how race even gets involved into the equation. Because a black guy disagrees with another black guy politically. This black guy over here believes in fiscal responsibility and constitutional law and the government staying the hell out of the way, while this black person over here believes in blah, 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 blah. But it's different than this black person over here. So we got to bring race into it. It has nothing to do with the policies. It has to do with the race. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get that. I've never understood that. How does it have to do with race? Why does race have to do it just never made any sense to me. Why even bring it up? If that's all that you have on your mind, what the hell is on your mind? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Uncle Tom, shut up. You're an idiot. And of course he's going to get up there. I mean, the State Department. Obamacare's unpopularity rises among the uninsured. You think? The 50 million that were uninsured thought that they were going to get insurance. No. No, 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 no. No, no, no. They thought they were going to get it for free. They thought it was just going to be handed to them. No. Plus, the website can only handle 7 million in the first place. There's still going to be 43 million people out in the cold. But then they say, well, no, that's just an estimate of how many people would get into it. Well, it's mandatory. So it seems like everybody should be able to get into it. or have to get into it. How can the, this is another thing. It just doesn't make any sense. If it's mandatory, how can there be so many people that aren't into it? I know there's going to be people going to get fined $90 or whatever because they can't afford it. That's why. Some of these people can probably barely afford the fine. Now they have to go to jail because they can't afford the fine? They're not going to be able to fine them anyway if they don't have a job. Because if they don't have a job, you don't have to file a tax return because you're not working. You're not making any money. What the... My voice is still a mess. I think I'm coming down with a cold. I hope not, but I don't care. I'm still going to go on stage. I've gone on stage with pneumonia before, and that's no joke. My ass after the show and ended up being in the hospital, but I still went on stage and didn't miss a line either. So let's get into this. This is the Super Bowl Snipers. Super Bowl Snipers. Okay, already. And they're wondering why. I don't know what's going on. I never had an opportunity to read any of this stuff that's in here. So I have no idea. East Rutherford, New Jersey. Along with excited and eager fans, SWAT teams and snipers will be attending Super Bowl 48. The reason for such high precautions is because the Super Bowl is a level one national security event. You are so full of it. Look, first of all, if you're going to be that secure, have all these snipers and that, don't tell me about it. By having snipers out there, okay, I'm already immediately insecure now. I don't think people want to go there. What if you got some guy, who knows, he's got his trigger on a finger, misses? Instead of hitting you, or instead of hitting the perpetrator, accidentally hits you right between the eyes. Now what? You got a crowd. You don't. This is a sniper business. No. There's no look. With all no, this is too much. I don't think people want to go through that. There's no excuse. If you need to go through all of these security measures, you shouldn't be playing the game. Period. There's no excuse for that. Don't give me this level one national security event. You've made it that way. So you have an excuse. This is a warm-up. These are practice runs, so when they do have the opportunity or do take their opportunity to take over, whatever they're going to take over, they're going to do it. These are warm-ups. These are practice exercises. The people actually doing it may not know it. That's what I believe this is. I'm sorry. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but that's just how I, that's what I think they're doing. I can't explain it because I can't see having snipers at the Super Bowl. I can't see with all these x-rays and all this and all that. Look, I understand you want to be secure. That's fine. Be secure. But be responsible about it. You don't need all these federal agents and all these machine guns and all this. I mean, I you know, when I was overseas and I'd go to, you know, the Philippines and all these places and different stuff in the Middle East, everywhere you went and people were standing out there with machine guns, I mean, I just don't like that. I don't feel secure with that. That doesn't make me feel secure. I'm sorry. Former FBI agent Jonathan Gilliam explains how snipers work in coordination with SWAT teams to give the fans and players ultimate safety. If you have an active shooter, how are they going to get in there? How are they going to get a gun in there? They're X-raying every single piece of paper. They're X-raying everything. Every bottle of water, every shoe, they're going to, there's no way you can get a gun in there. Plus, when you have armed guards that are all over the goddamn Super Bowl at every game, you have cops at every baseball game, football game, basketball game. They're all over the place. So if you do have an open shooter, you got people that are standing really close there. I just find this overkill. this is ridiculous. This does not make me feel secure. And I think that's a big reason why people aren't buying the tickets. They don't need to go through this. I mean, yeah, they would love to come to the Super Bowl, but they would love to enjoy it. How can you enjoy it? I mean, they got airplanes, and they got NASA, and they got all these different – they got federal troops all over. How does that – how is that – you can't tailgate? Oh, that brings terrorism. Those pork ribs that you're frying on your barbecue there. No. That'll offend the Muslims, and you know they'll burn down one of our embassies and kill our ambassador, and so we can't have that. I mean, I just don't understand how tailgating is going to make it more secure. I've never heard of a lot of incidences happening with tailgating, and especially at the Super Bowl. You don't even need to have a vehicle to tailgate. You just walk around, and you know, you can always find somebody you can party with. It's a big party there in the parking lot. It's part of the game. I don't know why they got to take that part of the game out of the Super Bowl. I don't know what their reasoning is behind it, how that's going to make it more secure, why that's what that has to do with anything. This is going to be the worst Super Bowl simply because of all this. We don't need to hear this. You don't need – I mean, come on. And if you're going to have snipers over there, don't tell me about it. That does not make me feel secure, having all these federal troops, x-rays, body searches, goddamn cavity searches. That does not make me feel secure. I'm sorry. I don't. There's ways to do it without going to SWAT teams. I wonder if the EPA is going to be out there with their little Gestapo commando squadron. I wonder if the EPA is going to show up at the Super Bowl. And they say, well, it's the same protocol is followed every year. Well, I've never heard of all this much. Planes flying in the air. I'm sure they probably do have snipers, maybe, but never heard of all this. X-raying every piece of paper, going through, you can only get to the stadium by if you go to the transportation that they provide. You can't be dropped off with a taxi. You can't tailgate. You can't do this. That's not something that happens every year. Don't give me that. I'm tired of living in a police state, man. People don't believe, well, it's not a police state. Let's just keep it security. Really? How much security do you think is too much? And then you see a lot of more police brutality now. I'm sorry, I got a problem with that. Maybe it is. Maybe it's because of 24/7 news. Maybe it's the internet. I don't know. Maybe it's people got cameras now. They videotape everything. Maybe it's always been this way, I don't know, but it's more than I'd like to see. I'm sick of it. Yeah, we want to be secure. But we don't want to be in fear. There's a difference. This seems to be more fear than secure. And there's a difference. We're Americans. We stand up to terrorism. We're home of the brave, not home of the coward. We don't exercise fear. This is our game, America's game. The World Series, that's America's pastime. That's America's game. Championship for basketball, championship for the Stanley Cup. I mean, I didn't know the Stanley Cup, the hockey, it's both Canada and America. But wherever it's played, if it's played in America, it's our game. It's our event. It's part of us. It's part of who we are. Just because you don't watch the Super Bowl, because you don't watch hockey, because you don't watch basketball, baseball, whatever. So, Those people that do watch it, it's theirs. It's ours. It's part of America. You can't get away from it. The Super Bowl is well, one of the most watched. There's a lot of events like that. The Indy 500. Daytona 500. There's a lot of events. But they're doing everything they can to take away the game away from the fans and their enjoyment. All in the name of security. Well, too much security doesn't make me feel secure. I don't know how it does to other people, but I don't feel secure with that. It seems to me these people are afraid of something. Well, if they're that afraid, they need this much security, then we got no business being here. That's why I feel insecure. If they have to go through all of this stuff to get us into the game, there's actual credible threats. Well, I don't want to be involved in that. What if the threat is something they didn't think of and, you know, I don't want to be blown to bits. I don't want to be shot. I don't feel secure with that much security. I'm sorry. And I think a lot of people feel that way, too, and that's why they're not coming to the game. On top of that, nobody can afford the goddamn things anymore. But if you can and you got to go through all of this, you know, these song and dance routines and x-rays, and cavity searches, and strip searches, radar detectors, and metal detectors, and, I mean, snipers, and they got NASA, they got satellites up there, and they got aircraft flying overhead. Federal troops, SWAT teams. I mean, look, I mean, I'm sorry. I can't feel safe with that. That's just too much. That's just too much. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. It's why they're not buying the tickets. I'm sure they'll eventually sell out, but maybe not. I don't know. But I think it's going to be very difficult for people to even get into the goddamn stadium. I mean, I don't know what time the game starts. Probably, what, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, 6, whatever. But you're going to have to start at like 4 o'clock in the morning just to get in there before the game starts. All right, U.S. seeks death penalty for marathon suspect. The announcement by federal prosecutors that they will seek the death penalty against the man accused in the Boston Marathon bombing came as no surprise. People who lost limbs, suffered other injuries in last year's attack, you know. Of course. I mean, that it only makes sense that he would get the death penalty. Anything less than that, I mean, we don't need to go into this. I want to read the people that were killed. You don't hear them very often, but there were people killed. Martin Richard, 8 years old. That's a baby. 8 years old. That's a baby. Crystal Campbell, 29. But I love to be 29. That's a child. Luz Zingi, 23. Boston University graduate student from China. 23. Again. Child. They haven't even begun to live their lives yet. And this creep. 16 others lost their limbs. They're going to live. But they don't have any limbs. They don't have any arms. They don't have any legs. This guy can't be executed quick enough as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you need a volunteer. I'm your man. I'll bring my own gun. I'll bring my own bullets. You pay for my air ticket to wherever he's at. Pay for my hotel. Pay for my meals. I'll bring everything else. House leaders sell immigration blueprint. Well, and again, we're getting back to this. Got to learn sometimes, move on. Put your foot in your mouth. Then you sound like an idiot. And I'm actually moving pretty quick here, man. I'm getting through all the stuff. I might actually get through. Oh, what is this? Speaking of which, Seahawks fans name their baby Cindy Lee 12th man, or Cindy Lay, or Lie, or Lee. L-E-I-G-H. I can never, you know, some people pronounce it differently. I don't know what it is. Cindy Lay, Cindy Lee, however you want to pronounce it, 12th man. I love it. M-A-N-N, they spell it. That's great. That's beautiful. I love it. I'm telling you, the Seahawks, my mom sent me, this is great. I got a shirt. Plus, I've already got, she already sent me a jersey. She sent me another T-shirt championship. I got a gray, one of those ski caps. And it's got, you know, the Seahawk emblem on the front. Oh, it's soft. It's all, I don't know what kind of quality. I mean, it's beautiful. It's great. And it's warm. It's very soft on the inside, very soft on the outside. And it just fits over your head, and it's absolutely warm. And it's cold here. Then last night, a package came in, and I got a ball cap, which is good because I wear caps all the time. I'm always a hat wearer. I got all different kinds of hats. But all my ball caps are getting really all torn up. But this is a good one. It's a championship, NFC Champions 2013 at the emblem. It's a nice cap. And it's soft. It's great stuff. So I'm all prepared. I got my chicken. I'm going to have my Skittle pie. The chicken dinner's going to be just right. And the Seahawks are going to win this game. I'm sorry, Peyton. I love you. Hey, you can come back next year, Peyton, and you can win the Super Bowl. You can do it next year and then retire. But this year, you know, I love you, man. And I love you. Peyton, you're a great guy. You're going straight to Canton. But this year, we need that trophy. That's ours, and we want it. So, anyway, with that, congratulations, Cindy Lee, Cindy Lay, 12th man. Welcome to the world. Pass the blah, 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 blah. There's nothing else. Okay, that's it. Dump that. And 21.6 million dollars in fake NFL merchandise. Arrests 50 involved. So they're out there selling fake NFL merchandise. Huh. So what? Unbelievable. People got to do what they got to do to make a living, and when they do, they get arrested for it. Yeah, okay, is it wrong to steal their stuff and sell it? Okay. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. But people are desperate now. They got to make money. They're doing everything they can to make money. And then if you get caught making money, because the only way you can make money is illegally, and then you go to jail. You know, if people didn't have a reason to do illegal activity, of course you're always going to have people do illegal activity. Okay, you can't get around that. You can't get around people stealing. You're always going to have that. But if you open the more doors to things that people can do to make money without having to steal it, afraid of getting caught, and if they do, they got to go to jail. I think a lot of this stuff would go away. Every time you have poverty, you have a lot of crime, a lot of theft. Look, people get desperate. If they don't have anything, and they need food to survive, well, they're going to do what they can to steal either money or food or this or that. Steal a car to go find a job, steal a car to go steal food, steal a car to do this, do that. This president has had 5 years, class, but what? Give me one single policy that this administration has put through that has been beneficial to the American people. Don't give me the stimulus package because it did nothing. $91.5 million people out of work. You tell me what policies have worked. None. But they'll come out and tell you how great and wonderful they are. But it's the Republicans and it's Fox News. It's the Tea Party. Never their policies. Never anything that they've done. And which brings me back to Mitt. I mean, you've heard me talk about this since the beginning. I just want somebody to come out and say, okay, I screwed up. Here it is. This is what I did wrong. This is the way to do it right. We've already done it. It's implemented. It's instituted. We've turned the wrong into the right. And that's it. Now we move on. I made a mistake. I'm not afraid to admit it. What I am afraid is to not admit that I made the mistake. Because if I'm afraid to not admit that I made this mistake, well, the country suffers. And just look at Obamacare. Because they flat refuse to admit that they made the mistake, a lot of them, well, who has to suffer? See, if they come out and say, well, you know, this health care bill, you know, kind of a mistake, well, then that'll look like they're flip-floppers. That'll look like they're this. That'll look like they're that. No, they would be honest. The American people just want somebody honest. But when somebody is honest, well, then it scares them. Maybe I'm trying to figure out, and the reason why I can't keep talking about this, I'm trying to figure out what did I not see? What was I missing? Why did I have an unfavorable view of Mitt Romney? But by 2011 or so, before the election, I was getting more and more and more and more. And then when the election happened, I was like, damn. You know, what did I miss the first time? I like this guy. I like his family. I like what he stands for. He seems to be a man with integrity. And that's what I'm looking for in the White House. I want integrity. And if you hose it up, you hose it up. All right. It's okay to make mistakes. God Almighty, I make mistakes all the time. As soon as I open my eyes in the morning, I've already made at least 10. So you admit it, and you move on. It has nothing to do with pride. What does pride have to do with it? It has nothing to do with pride. It has to do with whether you get it right or not. Because the mistakes that this government makes, it doesn't affect them. It affects the American people. Well, I think Mitt Romney understands that. I think he understands the impact. Maybe being, you know, a head of companies, that whatever decision he makes is going to affect a lot of people below him. And I don't mean below as far as, well, you know, status, whatever. I mean, you know, the people that he's responsible for, of his company. And those companies, you know, that he's working for. Well, it affects them. It's not going to affect him. And I think Mitt Romney understands that the decisions that should be made by government should be in the best interest of the American people, not in the best interest of the person who's, well, signing the bill or voting for the bill. It has nothing to do with what party. The American people need to be put in the forefront of the equation. Not how is it going to benefit the Republican Party, how is it going to benefit the Democratic Party in this next election, but how is it going to benefit the American people? How is it going to benefit the American people? That needs to be the forefront of every piece of legislation. How does that benefit the American people? How does all this pork benefit the American people? They're tired of paying for it, and they're getting nothing in return. Now, I don't know how many, countless goddamn bridges to nowhere, sidewalks to nowhere, roads to nowhere, airports that never land any planes, but they got to keep it open as if they do, spending millions upon millions of dollars for an airport that doesn't even, for what? Maybe the government wants to use it for later. They all do kinds of crazy crap. Who knows what the hell this government does? But we know enough that we can't take any more of it. At least I can't take any more of it. We hold the power. We hold the key. We hold the power, and that power is our vote. 2014 is the time to vote. But we need good candidates. You know somebody out there you think could run. Get them. If it's you, do it. Put down your bag of Cheetos. Get your fat ass off the couch. And go run, damn it. So let's get into this. House leaders sell the immigration blueprint. I don't even want to read this story, to be honest with you. Have we got anything else? Oh, my God. I don't have to read it because I know whatever it's going to be is going to be a goddamn disaster, and it's going to help nobody. It won't help the immigrants. It won't help the country. It's going to be a disaster, whatever it is. I don't have to read it. I just know how government operates. I know how they work. I know how they think, unfortunately. It's going to be a mess. It's already a mess. I don't think the Republicans should sign on to anything unless we have a secure border first. I'm sorry, but we live, you know, you want to have all the security for the Super Bowl, but you don't have any security for the goddamn border? Maybe if you had security at the border, you wouldn't need so much security at the Super Bowl. You see, because those bad people haven't gotten into the country. So you don't need to secure the Super Bowl. You need to secure the border. My God. I mean, why do we? Why do we allow this to continue? I'll never understand it. All right. Now, I was going to play, I can't remember. Did I play that trifecta already? Well, let's play it again anyway. We were going to get started, and then, of course, I get a little sidetracked from time to time. But this is about the dumbest person that has ever held the office of Congress, especially the dumbest that has ever held. I have to be positive with this. I have to be right on this. She is definitely the dumbest person that has ever been Speaker of the House. And here is why.
The point is, what is happening here now, and let's, you know, since you're trying to analyze it, is that we have a large segment of the Republican Party that is anti-government. We don't want any more government than we need, mm-hmm. but they're anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Did you hear that? Anti-science? Is she talking about man-made global warming? No, sweetheart. The reason why we don't believe in this man-made global warming is because we know the science. Anti-government? Anti-Obama? We're anti-Obama policies, your policies. We're anti-liberalism. Period. We're not afraid to admit it. What we are afraid of are more of your policies. We can't take them anymore. We do not deserve them. You understand, Ms. Pelosi? American people do not deserve your policies anymore. And they don't deserve your stupidity. A trifecta? I mean, what the hell is the matter with this woman? Now, God almighty, this woman. Here she goes again. She's speaking to Chuck E. Cheese Todd. Of course, it's a powder puff interview. Here she goes on again, and she's talking about how they never treated Bush like people are treating Obama. I know. I was laughing, too. Yes. So here it is again, Miss Nancy Pelosi on Bush.
It's on to try to influence the decision, but to obstruct every initiative that the president's put forth on jobs and then say, why don't we have more jobs? Well, we do have more jobs, but no thanks to the Congress of the United States. So I would be among those who disapprove of the way Congress does it.
You're part of the 81%.
I'm part of it.
Not friends and family, huh?
Yeah. No, but, but it's something very different. We did not treat President Bush this way. We worked with him to pass the biggest energy bill, to do the TARP, as I mentioned, to do PEPFAR and the AIDS drugs, to do many things. We opposed him on the war in Iraq, and we opposed him on the privatizing Social Security, but we thought we had a responsibility to work with the president to get a job done for the American people, and we did. This obstruction to President Obama is something quite stunning and something quite different.
Oh, God almighty, this woman just goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, does she have any idea what she's talking about? Was she talking to her grandson again, I wonder? Jesus, God, this woman. I mean, what just how do you put that much stupid into one human being? I will never know. Pass the biggest energy bill with George Bush? Are you talking about that baby-killing, mercury-laden light bulb? Is that what you mean? Or are you talking about getting rid of the coal mines and the oil industry? What are you talking about, the biggest energy bill? What the hell do you mean? These energy bills aren't beneficial to the American people. What the hell are you talking about? TARP? Yeah. I don't think we need to even cover that. And this, I don't know what she was, a little inaudible. I couldn't make out what she was saying. Some kind of pet farm or pat farm or... And then AIDS stuff, I think she said. I mean, I just anti-science, anti-Obama. I can't for the life of me understand how, first of all, why somebody would even say the things that these people say. But how people believe it. That's more surprising to me. How do people believe this stuff? That's what I can't figure out. I mean, when you hear somebody talk about this stuff, I mean, especially, well, if it doesn't take very much to know that this woman is not telling the truth. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It doesn't make any sense. Nobody's anti this, anti-science, because we don't believe in man-made global warming. That's not anti-science. That is science. Maybe if you took the time to, well, study the science, Ms. Pelosi, rather than just take the word for it off the special guests, the experts that come on MSNBC with a graph and a chart and a model, and they write a book. And the government gives them money to write more man-made global warming books. All right, speaking of the word, I wanted to cover something here. There was something in here. It is. Now, first of all, I'm a firm believer in freedom of speech. I don't believe people should be fired for their freedom of speech, no matter how stupid it is. There's nothing wrong with, you can criticize somebody's speech. You can hate their speech. You can hate every damn word they say. But I don't believe that you should be persecuted. This is what I'm talking about. The Constitution is for everybody, not just the government, not just the law enforcement, but these citizens as well, everybody. Military, everybody. Yeah, okay, what people say are stupid, and you have the right to voice your opinion that, excuse me, but what you said was stupid. But you don't have the right to fire people. Look, nobody watches MSNBC in the first goddamn place. I mean, it's public knowledge that they get the lowest ratings. I think even CNN gets more ratings than MSNBC now. But MSNBC now apologizes again for the 9 millionth time controversial tweet about conservatives and Cheerios. Now, I've seen the commercial, whatever. I wouldn't think anything of it. I didn't the first time I seen the other one until everybody started making a big to-do. And I go, oh, for God's sakes, you know, come on. There shouldn't have been anything said. They should have just played the goddamn commercial. Nobody would have said anything, except for somebody has to bring race into it. Why is it always about race? First of all, I think the ad's probably a little pretentious to bring race into the equation and into the conversation. That's the only part that I don't like about the ad. But when you watch it without, you know, any pre-context, you don't think anything about it. I didn't. First time I seen it, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't think anything about it. Whatever. It's a stupid commercial. I'm not really paying all that much attention to it anyway. But they're trying to start some kind of something and turn into controversy. It's always about race. I just don't understand it. It doesn't have anything to do with race. Get race out of the goddamn equation, will you please? We have one race in this country, and that's the American race. You don't like it, then get the hell out. We come in every shape, every size, every color, every religion, every this. Whatever the hell you want to be. Even a liberal. So MSNBC's official Twitter account, whatever, goddamn it, Twitter, deleted a tweet last night that suggested conservatives wouldn't like a new Cheerios commercial featuring an interracial family set to air during the Super Bowl. Maybe the right wing, this is the little tweet. Maybe the right wing will hate it, but everyone else will go, ah, the adorable new Cheerios with biracial family. Read the tweet. Blah, 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 blah. See right there, even this tweet. Why do you have to have it a biracial family even bring it up? I don't know. Anyway, we're going to get back to this here in a little bit. Looks like I got my brother on the line. Can't believe he's awake this morning. Are you awake there, meathead?
No, I'm not, you deek.
God almighty, goodness gracious. The Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, I've got everything. I've got everything ready to go. I'm doing my part as a fan, man. So, what's your prediction?
Well, I'm changing my pick.
Well, you're not going to pick the Broncos.
No, I'm changing from the Broncos to the Seahawks.
Well, I don't know why you were picking the Broncos anyway. They got computer models that have already picked the Seahawks. They got dogs. They got chickens. They've got, I mean, they've
Broncos
got...
Broncos are a better team.
No. Sherman's going to intercept at least twice. I'm thinking three times. I'm thinking we need at least two touchdowns from the Beast.
I'm changing my pick. I'm picking the Seahawks.
I got to see Wilson run for one end. He's got to run at least 100 yards. He's got to run for a touchdown. Might even throw one. So what's your score? What do you realistically? I think the score is not going to be as high as you would love.
24-17.
That's not a bad pick, actually. I mean, that's not. I think I had 27-23. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
You're like cut in and out.
Oh, so?
Well, I was over here talking to the wind. Yeah, I got 27-23, but I kind of like your 24-17, so I might do, I don't know. You know? I mean, I really don't know. Just, you know.
I do know.
I would love
I've
to see
it all.
Yeah, well, I've seen Seattle win this game. They're going to do it. This is the year.
I have seen Broncos win.
No, you haven't.
I have. I've seen it. And it's I'm changing it.
No.
What you saw was a nightmare. It was just a dream.
It wasn't real.
I didn't like it. Don't get me wrong. I didn't like it. But that's what I saw.
Get closer to the microphone. It's popping my ears.
I got it right in your face. Get off me, you fuckstick. Oops.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh. Forgot.
But it pops my ears when you have that on there. Get closer there. But, no, I see I almost see a very well, I see it kind of tight, but I also see Seattle breaking away at one point, and I think it's going to be neck and kind of almost not really neck and neck, but both teams are going to be in the game. But I see towards the fourth quarter, I see a breakaway point. There's going to be a turning point of the game. Maybe it's an interception by Sherman, or maybe it's a long 80-yard run by Lynch. Maybe it's a long run by Wilson, but it's something. And I'm telling you, Peyton Manning, he's got the jinx. He didn't play the last game of the season.
Don't even bring that up, because
it's stupid. True. Yeah. No, it's not stupid. I said it when it happened. I didn't need the TV to tell me that. I've said it from the very beginning, and I knew he was going to lose the Super Bowl. And I knew that the Saints were going to win. It's not stupid. It's true. He'll never get another ring again. Eli's going to have more.
Stop talking about it.
That's what's happened. I'm saying it. It's in the book.
Here's the deal. I'm changing it to the Seahawks winning 24-17.
Okay, I got it written right down
here. Write it down.
Got it. But something needs to happen. They need a breakaway. They need something, and they need to put away. Actually, you know, here's what I'd like to see, because you know that generally the Super Bowl, the first couple of quarters are a little, you know, playing a little conservative. I want to see Seattle come out with their testes on fire and just knock them down, do this, boom, 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 take control of the game first quarter, and just don't let go of it. That's what I want. I want the game. I don't want to be sitting on my.
They're not that way, though.
I know. I don't like all this. Look, I love a fourth quarter comeback and win at the last second, but my God, my blood pressure can't take that. You know what I mean? I mean, the older you get, the older you get, the more pain you have to go through just for a win.
I know.
You know, that's why
I got to get going.
Where are you going? You're not going to work, are you?
Yeah, I am. I really hate it, but I am.
Well, you wanna do a plug? A cheap plug?
For what?
I don't know. Whatever you do.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then if you're not proud of where you work, I understand. That's cool. I'm just hacking.
Well, United Windows and Doors is my business.
There you go. I'm just trying to give you a plug there, man.
That's not what I do all the time, though.
I know. Well, do it anyway. So,
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven.
All right, go have a good day of work. And
all right, meatball.
All right, see you later.
Seahawks 24-17.
All right, I got 27-23. As long as they win, I really don't give a damn what the stupid score is. So,
well, I hope they win, but I still have my
ideals
about the Broncos winning.
It's still
in the back of my head.
No, it isn't. Get it out of your head.
Back of my head. No, I know. I wish it could.
I just took it out. It doesn't exist anymore. All right.
I hope you're right. All right, mate.
See you later. All righty. Now, where the hell were we here? Here it is. This is their tweet. Maybe the right wing will hate it, but everyone else will go, the adorable new Cheerios ad with the biracial family. No. I mean, first of all, when I first saw the first one, before I even seen any, heard about it, because I don't pay attention to all this stupid crap. That's not what I was thinking. I really wasn't thinking anything. It was just a stupid Cheerios commercial, which I don't eat Cheerios, so I'm really not all interested in it. But why does it have to be mentioned? Oh, look at the new adorable Cheerios with the biracial family. Why? If that's what people are seeing, well, then the product isn't being advertised correctly, if that's what you're seeing. If you're seeing the biracial family and not seeing the Cheerios, that's not effective advertising. That's all I'm saying. But if that's all you see as a viewer, well, you're not understanding the ad. It's about Cheerios. It's not about a biracial family. And just to, hate to break your stupid little heart, but there are biracial families, a lot of them Republicans, but that's whatever. I know that doesn't exist because all Tea Parties are white. They're old and they're rich. And they hate. So then they fire the person, whoever did it. And the MSNBC now is quick to send out all the retweets. Earlier, this account tweeted an offensive line about the new Cheerios ad. We deeply regret it. It does not reflect the position of MSNBC. Yes, it does. That's all that ever comes out. I don't, personally, look, that's just the way they are. That's what they send out. That's the message that they get across. That's who, you know, they all buy into that. Well, fine, if that's the way you are, that's the way you are. But I don't think it's really that big of a to-do because the public has already determined that this is not the station, this is not the place where I go to get my news, so I don't watch them. I'm not saying that they should have fired the guy. They shouldn't have. That's who they are. Give people the opportunity to, well, not watch them. But it's up to you to fire them? No. Look, you don't like what people say? So? That's the way it is. You can't fire people for speaking their mind. If you don't like the way this person thinks, and why was he hired in the first place? That's the way they all think out there. Whatever. I mean, Andrea Mitchell's over there interviewing of this congresswoman. Talking about important issues, and then they got a breakaway to show Justin Bieber getting indicted. You talk about having absolutely no respect for the news, no respect for the issues. Certainly not any respect for the congresswoman. Obviously doesn't have any respect for her job. Maybe herself, too. She's another dummy, that Andrea Mitchell. All right, what did we miss up here? Oh, that's it. Henry Waxman. Oh, this guy, he can't get out of office quick enough as far as I'm concerned. Go now. Far-left congressman from California, Henry Waxman, a 40-year House veteran, announced his retirement Wednesday, blaming the pre-Constitution or the pro-Constitution limited government Tea Party movement. Good. It's working. Pro-Constitution, imagine that. Imagine being, well, outcast and persecuted in your own country for Constitution. Who'd have ever thunked that one? In quotations now, which means this is what he really said. It's been frustrating because of the extremism of the Tea Party Republicans. Nothing seems to be happening. Longtime Democratic Republican Henry Waxman announced Thursday he will not seek re-election in the fall, becoming the latest architect of the Affordable Care Act. There goes my breakfast. To announce his retirement. They're all bailing out. all these people from who got themselves involved in this Affordable Care Act, the architects. I don't like that term, architects. Well, they're all getting out because they can see that it didn't work and it's not going to work and never will work, and they knew it wasn't going to work. Of course, they got to get out and get out now so they don't have to answer any more questions. He's been in there for 40 years. He's got a nice retirement. Hell, he's fine. American people aren't fine, but Mr. Waxman is fine. He's doing, he'll be just fine. Isn't that right, Hank? Huh? Huh? He's a creepy looking dude, man. We don't care about how many terms this clown has served or what else is in here. 40 years. It's time for someone else to have the chance to make his or her mark. Yeah, oh, that's a stock response. Yeah. Just pull that one right up the shelf. Yeah, right there. As prior chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Yeah, you know that committee that allows the EPA to, well, control your lives now, force you to buy a poisonous, toxic, baby-killing light bulb, all in the name of a healthier environment. Mercury poisoning. That's pretty healthy for the environment. God, I hope I get over this cold, man. I'm sick of it. I know it's winter, but I don't generally get colds. This is like the first time, really, in my life. I don't generally get, like, sick, sick, sick. When I get sick, I generally get sick. I don't get, like, a mediocre cold. So this is kind of all new territory for me. It's irritating. It's annoying. Whatever the hell's in me needs to get the frig out. Because I don't have the patience for this. All right. We're running out of time here. So let's see what else we got here. Something interesting. Oh, you heard about that mayor that accused of withholding funds is now recently accused of perjury. The Democratic mayor that accused Chris Christie of withholding Hurricane Sandy relief money was recently accused of perjury. Who cares? Evidently, she was up there. She said that she never took any notes. And now with this Bridgegate, she says, here's all my notes that he tried to do this. So they're saying, well, you said you didn't take notes. And, well, yeah, I do take notes. Here's my notes. More nonsense, more lies. And here we are. Voting for more of it, more of it, more of it, more of it, more of it. Immigration now. I'm not going into that. This is stupid. According to the January version of the monthly tracking poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation, just 24% of uninsured adults have under 65. Just 24% of uninsured adults under the age of 65 have a favorable view of the health care law. That's a lot of people that do not like it. While 47%, or nearly double, have an unfavorable view. Well, yeah, we can do the math. In April 2010, the same survey, taken weeks after Obama signed the health care legislation into law, 50% had a favorable view, compared to 27% had an unfavorable view on a net basis. That's a 46% drop in favorability. And that wasn't the right time to hold the line, Mr. King and Mr. McConnell and Mr. Boehner, McCain, the whole smash, all of you. That wasn't the right time to hold the line. Really? There was always a majority that didn't want Obamacare. Now it's more than ever before. And you surrendered. For what? And then you get Paul Ryan to make a cozy little deal with that little rat, the little runt. That's my home state, man. And Patty Murray, I don't know. I'm sick and tired of these creepy politicians getting in there. They're very devious people. They're not working for the American people. They're working for themselves. And Mitt Romney, if you do run for president again, then you should. Paul Ryan is not going to be your vice president candidate. No. You need to vet a little bit more, a little harder. I like Ted Cruz, but I'm not so sure. Well, I think he would do a good job. Maybe get somebody that nobody's ever heard of before. So that way the libs can't spend all the time criticizing him and we can spend more time doing what needs to be done to get the country back on track. I know you're not listening. I know there's chances are that anybody who knows you personally that is listening is very well nil to none. However, if by some strange cosmic intervention that has occurred, please relay the message to Mr. Romney and to his family. It is time to run. You don't have to admit it now. You don't have to come out now. But if you come out 1 week before the 2014 election in November, you will send the winds in the direction, in the right direction. Pull to ourselves, we will win the Senate. We will win more seats in the House. Maybe we can start working on some things like, well, I don't know, repealing Obamacare, for one. Prosecuting those that allowed the murders to take place in Benghazi and Fast and Furious, those that are using the IRS as their little weapon against their political foes, all these things. That has to come to an end. But we need a responsible Congress. And Mr. Boehner, you're no longer Speaker of the House. Yeah. Even if you win re-election, we need a responsible Congress that will vote you out as Speaker of the House. Hey, being a nice guy and looking good with the tan, it ain't cutting it, kid. It ain't cutting it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Look, maybe it's too much responsibility. I don't know. But right now, America is hungry. We are thirsty. We are desperate. We're desperate for some hot shots. We need go-getters. We need people that are aggressive. We're not looking for people that are going to embellish. We don't need to embellish anything. Only thing that we need to do is tell the truth. We tell the truth, we win. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. We can beat them by the truth. That's what I'm looking for. Beat them with the truth. You can't deny the truth. The truth is the truth. Beat them with the truth. You don't have to embellish a thing. I feel like I'm getting sicker by the second. Anyway, we're desperately close to mooring. Coming close into the port here. I'm looking for something to send us off here. But I don't really have anything. And I'm feeling terrible. And I've got a whole weekend to cure myself. And I've got to go on stage Tuesday. What I'm afraid of is having to be sick watching the Super Bowl. That's going to suck. Ah, I'm not used to this crap. I don't know. Maybe they've got some... I'll go to the pharmacy up here. Maybe I'll get some stuff. But I hate taking all that over-the-counter crap. I can't drink that NyQuil. Oh, my God. That stuff is horrible. I'm not a pill taker either. I don't think I could ever become a junkie. I can't take... I'm not a big pill taker. I don't like shots. There's something so unnatural about putting a needle in your body, especially in your vein. Gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't look at it. When they take blood, I hate that. I can't stand that. I've had both of my arms, blood being removed from both arms, and all these IVs and all this. I just hate that. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It just skeeves me out of knowing I got a needle in me. Ah, whatever. All right, everybody. We're now back to park. We're now more. We can shift colors. I want to thank you all for listening. We will see you back here Monday morning.